We're glad that you are in the house of the Lord this morning, and if you want to read some scripture with me today that I feel like the presence of the Lord has laid upon my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn over to a passage of scripture that no doubt you have read, you have heard quoted, but we're going to break it down a little bit this morning, and I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse number 17. We're going to begin there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse number 17. Bless the name of Jesus. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Paul says in that 20th verse, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For God the Father, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray and ask the Lord for his help in ministering the word of God today. Father, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity to be in the house of God. We are thankful this morning, Lord, for the chance to open up your word and to speak what you have placed upon our hearts. I would ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would let the anointing of your Holy Spirit divinely rest upon me and use me as an instrument in your hand. I pray that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would empower what is spoken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that you would let it fall upon hearts that are touched of God to hear and to receive. Above all things, my God, I ask this morning that you would allow Jesus Christ to be glorified in our midst, and that you would let those that hear the word be edified and instructed and lifted up. And we will forever give you the praise, and we will forever give you the thanks, and we ask it now in the mighty and awesome name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, The Best News Ever. And I've got to tell you, when my wife and I were around the house yesterday evening, she said to me, what are you speaking on tomorrow? And I said, the best news ever. And she said, no, it's all in how you say it. You have to say, the best news ever. I said, I'm not sure I can pull that off. So, honey, would you please stand and give everyone the title to my message?
The title of today's sermon is The Best News Ever.
She nailed it. Right? I know, I got to put up with it. No. I'm just kidding. The best news ever. Well, what is the best news ever? I want to tell you this morning that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. In fact, I submit to you that it is not just good news, but that it is the best news ever. It is the best news that I have ever heard. It is the best news because Christ came to reconcile each one of us and to bring each one of us back into fellowship with God. That's good news. Can you say amen? Christ came to commit unto us the word of reconciliation so that each one of us may be able to share the good news of the gospel with someone else. How many of you know that's an honor to be able to share the good news of Jesus with someone else? Christ came so that we could exchange our unrighteousness and receive His righteousness. That's great news. Because the Bible said that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And Jesus came to take our unrighteousness and give us His righteousness so that we might be able to stand in the presence of a holy God. Amen. That's good news. What does the word righteousness mean? Really, you could substitute the word approval for the word righteousness. He came to take away our disapproval so that we might be approved in the sight of God through Him. Amen. 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 He came to give me something that I could never obtain myself. He came to give you something that you could never attain on your own. Somebody said, well, preacher, I try to be good. Well, go ahead and try. Amen. Tell me how that's working out for you in a couple of weeks, right? But He came to give us something that we could never achieve. Right standing in the sight of God. Right standing, righteousness in the sight of God. He came, Jesus came to be made sin for us and be made, amen, sin by the plan of God that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And to me, that is some really good news. Many years ago, an artist by the name of Ann Murray, she recorded a song called, I Sure Could Use a Little Good News Today. Well, I got some good news for you today. I came to share some good news with you this morning. Amen. In fact, I came to share with you some of the best news that I have ever heard. The text that we have looked at is some of the most wonderful and some of the most powerful scriptures in the Word of God, because it tells us why that Christ came and what He has empowered us to do and what He has done in our life. And I want you to know something this morning. It is the best news that I have ever heard in my life. Amen. The apostle begins to explain how that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Amen. The apostle is explaining that God was in Christ and reuniting or bringing us back unto Himself. Look at verse number 19. Paul clearly says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. That one phrase, amen, brings to recognition two different things. Paul is recognizing and acknowledging that all of us have fallen and that all of us have sinned and all of us are in need of a Savior. And then he just as clearly tells us in that verse that it was God that desired to do something about our fallen condition. Not only did God see that we had fallen, but it was God that took the initiative to come and get us. Amen. That there is another piece of good news. He loved us so much that he was willing to come for us and come to receive us and make a way that we might be restored unto him. He is saying that we are all in need of redemption and that we are all in need of reconciliation. Amen. And the good news of the gospel this morning is that God took the initiative to restore fallen man and to bring us back into fellowship with himself. Amen. I mean, you know, when someone comes to get you, that's when you know they care for you. Hello? I mean, they may hear about your plight and go, well, that's just really sad, but I'm not going to do nothing about it. Hello? But when someone cares, they're willing to make the initiative or take the initiative to do something about it. Paul clearly outlines here in these verses that God sent Christ into this world and to this world to redeem us and bring us back into relationship with our Creator. And now he tells us, now that we have been redeemed and now that we have been reconciled unto God, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the word or the message of reconciliation, and we have become ambassadors for Christ, representatives of Christ. Amen. We have become ambassadors and representatives. Let me just tell you this morning that God did not just save us from our sin. He meant just so we could shout glory, but God saved us so that he could put a message in us, and then we could go and share that message with somebody else that needs to hear the good news of the gospel. So he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, he's talking about just the pastor. No, he's not talking about just the pastor. He's not talking about just the evangelist. He's talking about every believer. Every believer has become a representative or an ambassador for Christ. And every believer should be willing to share the message of reconciliation. I want you to know something this morning. We have the best news that the world has ever heard. Amen. And that the world has ever known. And we need to be willing to share it. Amen. We need to be willing to share that word. In other words, Paul is saying that now that we have come to the understanding of this marvelous redemption in the Lord, and now that we have been exposed to the good news, it now becomes our responsibility to expose someone else to the good news. So this morning, I want to share with you 4 points of why I believe that the gospel is the best news ever. All 4 of my points are very fundamental, but they are foundational. All 4 of my points are very fundamental. Somebody said, oh, this is just going to be a real simple message. It is going to be a real simple message, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's also the very foundation of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you love a deep word? Let me see your hand. Love to hear a deep word. Well, I'm going to tell you, I love a deep word too, but I'm going to tell you, it's the simplicity of the gospel that will cause people to come and be saved. Amen. So this morning I want to share with you just 4 simple reasons why I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news ever, because it is my desire that each one of you are equipped and understand the gospel and why the gospel is such good news. So 4 points. They are all four found in the 17th verse. If you have your Bible still open, or if you have your smartphone or your tablet or however you access scripture, we're going to just stay right there in verse number 17. So just keep that in front of you, if you will, this morning. Verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The first thing that I want to point out to you this morning, there in verse number 17, is the very first line. And Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Everybody say, any man. Paul is telling us that the death of Jesus was for any man, any woman, any boy, any girl. No one is excluded. It is for everyone. It is for everyone. Paul is saying, if any man, understand that he's not speaking in terms of gender, but he's talking about the human race. And he says, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any man, anyone means me, anyone, any man means you. It means your friends. It means your family. It means your neighbors. It means anyone. Thank God that the gospel was not just for a select few, because I probably wouldn't have it. Hello? But it's for everyone. It's not for just a select few. It's not for just those this morning. Amen. It's not for just those this morning who have a high EQ, amen, or an IQ. It's not this morning just for those who have a large bank account. But it is for everyone that will believe upon the name of the Lord. Any man, the phrase in Christ this morning is very important, because it means that we must be in Christ in order to have his approval. In order to have God the Father's approval, we must be in Christ. Amen. We must be in Christ, and Christ is sufficient. His sacrifice on Calvary is sufficient for the whole human race. It excludes no one, but it will become effective only in a person's life if they believe upon the Lord. Can you say amen? When we believe upon the Lord and we receive the Lord, the Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I came to tell someone this morning that the good news of the gospel is for whosoever will, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, anyone that will dare to have faith in Jesus Christ, he's willing to reconcile and receive unto himself. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 32. Jesus says these words, whosoever, everybody say, whosoever means me. It means everybody else too. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 50, the scripture said that whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, Jesus said, the same shall be my brother and my sister and my mother. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 34 says, said, when Jesus had called the people unto himself, he said unto the disciples, and he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 17, the Bible said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst, let them come, and whosoever will, let them come, and take of the water of life freely. Hey, God has opened a fountain through Jesus Christ, and everybody is invited to come and drink. Amen. Everybody is invited to come. Whosoever, John chapter 6, verse number 37, the Bible said, and all, Jesus speaking, all that the Father has given me shall come, and all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Thank God this morning that salvation, amen, is not be determined by our social status. Thank God that our salvation is not determined by our popularity. It's not determined by our good looks or our good works, but it is based upon the fact of having faith in Jesus Christ. And everybody can meet that bar if they just look toward heaven and have faith in Christ. Amen. And whosoever will can be saved. Amen. The fundamental foundation of the gospel is believing in Jesus Christ. And when we believe, we are redeemed. That's good news. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter our social standing. It doesn't matter our popularity. It doesn't matter how many friends we have. It doesn't matter how large our bank account is. But it's simply believing upon the name of the Lord, and everybody is invited to do that. And that's good news. That's good news. It's for everyone. It is for everyone. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. The second reason that I believe that the gospel is the best news ever, it is the ultimate makeover. It is the ultimate makeover. Look again at verse 17. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, look at the next line. He is a new creature, a new creature, a new creation, a new creature. When an individual is saved and we place our trust in Christ, we are made a brand new creation. That's good news. I needed recreated. Hello? Because my old sinful man was a mess. I needed to be recreated. And think about that for just a moment. Paul is saying that when we believe and accept the redemptive work of the cross, there is such a radical change in our life. Amen. And we are radically created into a work of God's handiwork. He literally changes us to the point that we become a new creature, a new creation. We become a brand new creature in Christ. Amen. We become a brand new creation in the Lord. The word new creature suggests that a person becomes so radically changed, amen, that they are a brand new creation, and a new creature is something that has not previously existed. So God miraculously changes us to the point that we are no longer recognizable to those that used to know us. Does he radically change our outward appearance? I wish. Hello? No, he does say that he'll beautify the meek with salvation. Somebody said, well, Pastor Gary, how come it didn't work on you? It did. You should have seen me before I got it. Hello? What he radically changes is what's on the inside. He radically changes us to the point that we become a previous or something that previously never existed. I can testify, some of you sitting here this morning could testify the fact that you're not who you used to be. Amen. I can testify my own self. I am not who I used to be. He made me different. I used to sin and didn't mind. I could go ahead and go to sleep at night. Hello? I used to make all kinds of mistakes and mess up and walk in my flesh. And I was good at it. Hello? But when Jesus came into my heart, he so radically changed me that it changed the way I walk. It changed the way I talk. It changed the way I live. It changed the way I move and breathe. And now in him I live and move and have my being. And now in him he has changed me from the inside out. Amen, amen. I can testify to the fact. Amen. When I came to the Lord, he put a love down in my heart that I never knew existed. He made me love even those that are unlovable. Hello? Amen. When he saved my soul, he put a joy down in my spirit that I never knew existed before. And now, even when I'm walking through hard times, I still can have the joy of the Lord down on the inside of my heart, lifting me up and propelling me forward. He changed my worldview. He changed my God view. He changed my perspective on life. Beloved, I got more than a new paint job. When Jesus saved my soul, he changed me radically from the inside out. Talk about a makeover. How many of you ever watched that television show where they, I don't even know what it's called. It's a bunch of contractors get together and they take an old dated home and they just literally in about 3 days completely make it over. And then that guy goes, move that bus. Yeah. And I don't even know if it's still on. And they move the bus. And everybody is shocked by the radical transformation of that old home. That's what happened to me. He radically changed me. He knocked down some walls that didn't need to be there. Amen. He put in some new tile and he put in some new fixtures and he put in some new things in my heart. Amen. And he radically made me new. And the good news of the gospel is he'll do it not just for me, but he'll do it for everyone that'll believe on his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He so radically changes us that we become a new creation, a new creature in Christ. A new creation, a new creature. An ultimate makeover. The Bible calls this very different things throughout the scripture. The Bible expresses it as being called born again. How many of you know if you're thinking in the natural, that born again thing will make you scratch your head? It made Nicodemus scratch his. You want me to do what? Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how in the world do you expect me to be born again? Hello? How in the world are you planning for me to be born again? Jesus said, no, you don't understand. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. I'm not talking about a natural birth, because they that are born of the flesh are flesh, and they that are born of the spirit are spirit. I got born again of the spirit of the living God, and it radically made me new. The Bible calls it translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. Now, maybe you know what the word translated really means. I'm dating myself, but think back of Star Trek. They would get in that little beam thing and it would translate them somewhere else. I got translated. You got translated. Amen. We got translated from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of God's dear son. In other words, we've been lifted out of one thing and lifted out of one place and brought into another. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, I am not a citizen of this earth. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a citizen of a heavenly kingdom this morning. My king is King Jesus. I got translated out of this earthly realm into the realm of God's spirit, and I've been forever changed. The Bible calls it passing from death unto life. The Bible calls it being removed from darkness and brought into his marvelous light. The Bible calls it being adopted into the family of God. The Bible calls it being reconciled and made alive by God's Spirit. Hey, if you need a makeover in your life, kneel at the foot of the cross and you'll find that Jesus Christ will give you a makeover that'll make you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So, number one, it's good news because it's for everybody. No one is excluded. It's good news because it is the ultimate makeover. It'll change your life radically. Number three, the third reason the gospel is the best news ever is found in verse 17. Look, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Look at the next line. Old things are passed away. All things are passed away. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, it's the best news ever because it takes care of our past. I don't need any testimonies or any show of hands, but how many of you got a past? And if we're honest with ourselves, some things in our past are like having a yard sale. We just want to see it go. Would you take a $5? No, I'll just give it to you if you push hard enough. Hello. Hello. We all got some stuff in the trunk. I didn't say that. Y'all just thought that. Good news. Good news. Best news ever. When we come to Jesus Christ, he removes our past. There's some things in my past this morning that I'm not proud of, but I'm thankful for the blood. I said I'm thankful for the blood. Because now when the accuser of the brethren goes, look what he did. Jesus, just my intercessor, looks back and says, yeah, but look what I did at Calvary's cross. It is paid for in full. When we come and we humble ourselves at the foot of the cross and believe in Christ, he removes our iniquity. Psalms 103 and verse number 12, the Bible says, as far, this is God talking, he said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 25, God said, I, even I, am he that blots out your transgressions for my sake, and I will remember your sins no more. Thank God the blood, amen, gets rid of our past. All things are passed away. What do you do when something passes away? You bury it or it stinks. Hello? You bury it or it starts to smell. Some of us have got some stuff we did in our past and we ain't buried it and it stinks. Have a funeral service for it. Put it under the blood. Put it in the ground. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and let the Lord wash your heart and let the Lord remove it as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought back up against you any longer. And let me just tell you, oh, what freedom there is. There is no condemnation, amen, to those that are in Christ Jesus. And when the enemy tries to tap on your shoulder and remind you of what you did, you can turn and look at Calvary and say, yes, but he died for my sin. Yeah. Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. How many of you know God has benefits? Yes, he does. He forgives all of thine iniquities. He forgives all of thine iniquities. Amen. And he forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. The Bible said that he redeems our life from destruction and crowns our life with loving kindnesses and tender mercies and satisfies our mouth with good things. How many of you like good things? That's Jesus. That's what he does. He takes the past and removes it out of the way, and all things pass away. And behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. The good news of the gospel this morning is that when we come to Christ confessing our sin, he removes all of our iniquities. And theologians call it the great exchange. Look at verse number 21. It's called the great exchange. Verse 21, God the Father made him, Jesus, to be sin. He who knew no sin, he that was sinless, he that had no iniquity and was spotless, God the Father made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took our unrighteousness and gave to us his righteousness. You talk about a deal. Wow. You talk about good news. It was the great exchange. What a deal. I have always said it this way, that Jesus said, I will die for you if you will just live for me. How many of you want to live for him? Because he died for us. What good news. What a great exchange. All of my old sinful acts have passed away. All of my old sinful ways have been put under the blood. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. All things have passed away. And the fourth thing that I believe that makes the gospel the best news ever is found in the latter part of verse 17. Not only does all things pass away, but behold, all things become new. All things become new. Behold, all things have become new. Number four, he introduces us to our future. Hello? He introduces us to our future. Let me just tell you this morning, if you enjoy living for the Lord down here on planet Earth, just wait till we all get to heaven. What a time that's gonna be. You think you're enjoying it here? Just wait till you get over there. Hello? Because there ain't going to be no enemy, and God is going to wipe away all of our tears, and there ain't going to be no more trouble, and there ain't going to be no more trials, and there ain't going to be no more heartache, and there will be no more death. Amen. If you're having a good time here, just wait till you get over there. He introduces us to our future. The old song said, I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. You hear what I'm saying this morning. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was bound for destruction and a devil's hell. But oh, thank God, he put me on another path and gave me citizenship in heaven. And now I'm looking forward to eternal life in glory with God this morning. He introduced me to my future. That's some good news. That's a good piece of news. When I met Jesus, he changed everything. If you're a sports fan this morning, you've heard the terminology game changer. Well, Jesus is a game changer. Amen. He is a game changer this morning. When he shows up in your life, behold, all things become new. When Jesus shows up in your life, he brings the gift of eternal life. He brings salvation and restoration. He brings life, and that more abundantly. And he opens up access into favor, and he opens up access into the mercy of God, and he opens up access into the very presence of God. I came to tell somebody this morning that Jesus is a game changer. Amen. And when you come to Christ, he'll change your life. Jesus said in John chapter 14 in verse number 6, I am the way and I am the truth. I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Remember that. Remember that this morning. If you want old things to pass away, if you want all things to become new, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. If you want that in your life, then it only comes through Christ. It only comes through Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12. This is what the Bible says. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ this morning, amen, will take anyone that will come unto him. He'll make all things pass. pass away. He'll make all things become new. He'll give you the righteousness or the right standing in the presence of God, and he'll cause your future to burn brightly this morning. When Jesus said to the Pharisees, and you'll find it in John chapter 10 and verse number 7, when Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. I am the door." In verse 9, again, he repeats that. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find green pastures." I want you to understand this morning, when Jesus said to those Pharisees, "I am the door," they knew exactly what he was talking about. Well, Pastor Gary, what was he talking about? He was talking, he was using the door of the tabernacle as a picture of his life. When Jesus said, "I am the door," the Pharisees knew that he was talking about the door on the temple. There was only one door on the temple. There was only one door on the tabernacle. And when Jesus said, "I am the door," they knew that he was saying, "I am the only way to get into the presence of God. And if you're going to come to the presence of God, then you got to come through the door. And I am that door." I came to tell somebody this morning that Buddha is not the way, Muhammad is not the way, Hare Krishna is not the way, but Jesus Christ is a way. He is the only way. Amen. He's not just a way. He is the only way. I am the way. I am the door. So good news, the gospel this morning, it is good news. It is the best news ever, because the gospel is for everyone, including you. The gospel is the ultimate makeover. The gospel takes care of the past, and the gospel secures our future. Amen, Pastor Gary. Amen. How do you know it's real? How do you know that it's really real? And I would answer that question by telling you, because I feel it in my spirit. I can feel it in my soul. Well, we can't go by feeling. We can't. Let me tell you a little story Billy Graham once told. Billy Graham said that he was on the seaside or on the seashore, and a group of people were watching a young man looking up in the air, and he was flying a kite. The kite had got so far up into the atmosphere that the kite could not be seen. And the people were standing around watching this little boy looking up, and they said to him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." "I don't see no kite. How do you know it's up there?" He said, "I can feel it tugging on my finger." Hello? I can tell you this morning, how do you know it's real? I can feel the Holy Spirit when he tugs on my heart. I can feel the Holy Spirit through his word when he speaks into my life. I can feel the tug of the Holy Spirit leading me to the left and leading me to the right. I can feel it in my heart. You may not be able to see God with the natural eye. You may not be able to talk to God with the natural lip. But I can tell you this morning, if you'll only open up your heart, you'll be able to feel the presence of the God that we serve deep down in your soul. Amen. He is real. He is real. That's the best news that I've ever heard this morning. Maybe you are here in this place and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. I invite you, before this service is over, to make the Lord of your life this morning. Invite Christ into your heart. Let him change your past and secure your future. And then go forth and share that good news with somebody else. Because we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry and the message of reconciliation. We have the best news. We should never be ashamed to share our faith, no matter who is listening. Hello? Don't ever be ashamed to testify of God's grace in your life. Don't ever be ashamed to testify about Jesus to someone who needs to hear the good news of the gospel. Amen. Don't close your lips and keep the message to yourself. I encourage you this morning to share the good news with all who will give you the time to do it. It's good news because it's what humanity needs. It needs Jesus. It needs Jesus. I encourage you, tell someone about Jesus this week. Testify to someone about Jesus this week. Testify to someone about the difference that he's made in your life. Listen, I know I'm going to preach right where the rubber hits the road. All too often, we are just grateful that we are saved. And we are willing to let everybody just do their own thing. That's not Bible. The Bible said that we are to go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. How do we compel them? By sharing the good news. By sharing the good news of the gospel. Share Jesus with someone this week. Share the good news of Jesus Christ with someone. Share with someone about our church this week. Testify about Elevation Worship Center and how that we desire to bring people into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Tell somebody about your relationship with the Lord and what he's done to your life. Do not be silent. But open your mouth. Don't keep good news to yourself. We have been commissioned, and Paul says here in our text, that we have been made ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Representatives, the United States has ambassadors to every nation on planet Earth. When they travel as our representative. Jesus said, that's what you are for me. Be the right kind of representative. Share the right message. Testify of God's goodness. Testify of God's grace. Tell people they need to know Jesus, the one that set me free. Oh, you got problems? We all got problems, but let me tell you about somebody that can help you with your problem. Hello? Far too many in the church are just looking to use the word as a sledgehammer so that they can condemn and berate and tell people and put them in their place. You are going to hell. Well, I'll tell you, it may be true, but they don't have to hear you tell them that. They already know that. What they need for you to tell them is you don't have to. Jesus loves you. I love you. If you come to the Lord, he'll change you. Somebody said, well, I'd hate to have to go to church every Sunday. Me too. Thank God I get to. That's a whole different attitude. Why? Because he changed me from the inside out. What I used to love, I don't love anymore. And what I used to do, I don't do anymore. And he gave me a whole new way of living. Share the good news with somebody. Don't keep it to yourself. Bow your heads, please, all over the building. The best news ever is Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus wants to put your past in the past. And Jesus wants to give you a bright new future. And if that ain't good news, I don't know what is. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you took the initiative to come and redeem us and make a way for us to have eternal life. Thank you this morning, O God, for your presence. Thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit that I have sensed as we have ministered this word. And now, Father God, I ask you to take it to the hearts of every hearer. Take it to the hearts of every hearer. Encourage us to share our faith. We must not be silent. We must not button our lip and keep this good news to ourselves. Help us to let our light shine, that others may see our good works, our good deeds, our new lifestyle, and glorify our God which is in heaven. Speak to us now, I pray, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray it. Everyone said amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to say, Pastor Gary, I'm guilty of keeping the good news to myself. I haven't been sharing the gospel as I should. I've been guilty of keeping the word to myself. I realize it's my responsibility. I'm an ambassador. Hands being lifted all over the building here. God sees your hand. God sees your hand. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never invited Christ into your heart. Or maybe you are in a situation where you know that you are not living the way that you need to be living for the Lord. Would you slip up your hand and say, I need to make a change this morning. I need to make a change. God sees your hand and yours. God sees your hands. I need to make some changes. Stand to your feet all over the building and let us pray. Hands have been lifted on all accounts. Let me pray with you and then we're going to let the worship team worship. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we acknowledge that your word, that your plan to redeem man is good news. Lord, we acknowledge that we have not been the right kind of ambassador and that we have not shared the message of the gospel as we should. We've not been sharing the good news as we could. And this morning, right now, Lord, we're going to make a change. Consciously, we choose to begin to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Radically make a change in us. Remove old things. Let all things become new. Radically renew us. Radically make us over. And put a word in our heart and give us an opportunity to share Jesus with someone who is lost. This coming week, let us hold our light upon a candlestick so that it cannot be hid, that others ask and inquire, why are you so happy and why are you so filled with joy? So that we may share Christ with them. I ask all of these things in the name of Jesus.